Well, let me just read a few verses of Scripture just before we come to the message tonight. Just from the prophet Jeremiah and chapter 8 in the Old Testament. And I'm going to read from verses 18 to verses 22. So Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 18 to 22. And there is in the middle of this a harvest text. And I'm going to speak on this harvest text this evening. So Jeremiah chapter 8, reading from verse 18. This is God's word. O my comforter in sorrow, my heart is faint within me. Listen to the cry of my people from a land far away. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king no longer there? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their worthless foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this reading from your word. We thank you that you have given us this word for our instruction. We thank you that the prophet said to the law and to the testimony. And so we turn, O God, to your law and to your testimony this evening. And we pray, Father God, that you would speak into our hearts, Lord, from this. Speak into all our hearts. And may we be conscious tonight that we have met with you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever Lynn and I first got married, we lived in Ballymena for 3 years. And at that time, there was a large Co-op supermarket in the Fair Hill Centre, if you remember it. Every once in a while, the Co-op had a special sale event, and from memory, it was called the 3-Day Wonder. And what they did was they brought in piles of heavily discounted goods. And for those 3 days, they sold them off at very cheap prices. And the sense was, you've got 3 days. When they're gone, they're gone. And the place used to go crazy as people piled in, because there was always that sense of, what will they be selling off cheap this time? But we have this short window of opportunity. And we went there, and sure enough, we got our first TV there when we got married. In that one of those 3-day wonders. We've just read from Jeremiah chapter 8, and this prophet is preaching about a small window of opportunity, but it's got nothing to do with selling in a retail sense. He's preaching to a nation that has been given over to sin. He works through the nation, and he's in many ways analyzing the nation. He's cataloging the sin. For example, in verse 4, he says, the people have fallen into sin and don't want to climb out of it again. They're comfortable in their sin, in other words. They don't want to change their lives. In verse 5, he describes them as clinging to deceit. They've convinced themselves they're okay the way they are. They're acting out that everything's all right when it's not all right, but that's okay as far as they're concerned. They're happy just to live with lies. In verse 6, he says, no one is prepared to admit wrongdoing. There's no self-examination. He compares them to war horses. If you think of a war horse plunging into battle, there's no turning it. It just fires itself as fast as it can into the center of the conflict. He says, these people are just running into sin, and they're careless about it. They don't care about it. They're just going with their desires and with their wants. And worst of all, verse 7, he says, they don't know about the judgment of God. They don't know that judgment day is coming. They're going to lose everything. They're going to be punished. And the horror of what's going to come is pictured in verse 17, where he says, judgment day is going to be like getting bitten by a snake or by many snakes. See, I will send venomous snakes among you, vipers that cannot be charmed, and they will bite you, declares the Lord. This is the judgment. The snakes will come and bite them. There's going to be a foreign invasion. And the cry will go up in verse 19. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king no longer there? In other words, where is God? They'll cry. Where is God? But it'll be too late. They've missed their opportunity. The time for getting right with God will have passed, and they'll be too far gone. But into that context comes Jeremiah with this message. And Jeremiah is analyzing, as God's Spirit directs him, the sin of the nation. But he also has a slight glimmer of hope as the end of this chapter comes up. And he comes with this word, and he says in verse 20, the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved, but we're not yet destroyed. He speaks to this nation, and he challenges them about where they're at, and he has this word, and he is speaking to them, and he hints that there is still a slight window of opportunity, if only they'll take it up, if only they'll do something about what God is speaking to them about. And so he comes with this message, the harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. And for us, it's a good text on a harvest evening to deal with the sense here tonight that our harvest too is past. So what about you and what about me? Are we saved as we consider this passage this evening? First of all, he talks about the fact that salvation was available. He says in verse 22, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? There was balm in Gilead. There was a physician there. And yet God's people were not healed of the wound of sin that sin was causing in their lives. Gilead was the land east of the Jordan River, and it was known for its healing balsams. If you had a wound, an ordinary wound, it was such a relief to have that balm from the resin of the tree applied to your wound. It soothed, it comforted. But for this sin wound, lives that were broken, lives that were lived apart from God, lives that were lived in the face of God rebelliously and breaking the law of God, there was no wound. There was no balm. And Jeremiah laments that fact, that there's no physician there, there's no balm for these people, although mind you, there are plenty of quack remedies going about. He says in verse 11 about the false teachers, they dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. There were plenty of preachers in Jeremiah's time. You read the story of Jeremiah and you will discover there were plenty of teachers, Bible teachers, coming with their message, but they weren't faithful to what the Scripture said. And they just told the people, you know, yes, the country is in a mess, but you're going to be all right. You don't need to worry about sin. You don't need to worry about judgment. You don't need to worry about getting right with God. You just try a little bit harder. Be a little bit more respectable. Go to your place of worship a little bit more often, and everything's going to be okay. Peace, peace. And Jeremiah says, well, they may be preaching peace, peace, but there is no peace. Similarly, we live in a day and age whenever people will preach a message about Jesus Christ. We touched on this morning. And they will preach the message about Jesus Christ, and it's not the true message of Jesus Christ. It was said of the 20th century that in those days there was a message preached of a God without wrath, bringing people without sin into a kingdom without judgment through a Christ without a cross. There's plenty of people who preach God, who preach being a nice person, who preach the kingdom of God, who preach Christ, but who don't preach Christ and his cross. The message, you see, is not Jesus, as we said this morning. The message is Christ died for our sins. That's the message. That Christ died for our sins. The message is just not that Jesus is king, but that this king shed his blood to save his people. That's the message. And Jeremiah knew that what was being preached, peace, peace, but there was no peace. Jeremiah could see through it all. These people who talked about God but didn't know God. These people who told everybody were okay but they weren't okay. And Jeremiah comes and he says, the harvest is past, the summer is in, and look, you're not saved. Because you're not believing the right message. The message is about the fact you're torn and broken by sin. You stand in breach of the law of God. The judgment of God is hanging upon you. You need a Savior. And he says, the harvest has passed, the summer has ended, and yet you're not saved. Don't kid yourself. Don't hide behind church activities. Don't hide behind a respectable life. Don't hide behind the fact you've got a decent and a good family. Those things are good, but they'll not save you from the judgment of God. And yet he comes, doesn't he, with this message that there is salvation. We're not saved. The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we're not saved. But we might be saved. But not yet, they say. There's a wee word of grace in there. But the people are not yet ready to take it. So he moves on to the second thing. Not only does he say salvation is available for you, he says, secondly, time is passing. Don't put this off too long. That's why he says the harvest is past, the summer has ended. The sense of the seasons passing, the sense of time moving on. When I was preparing this message, I was listening to the tick of the clock in my study. And as I was preparing this and thinking about time, and I listened to the click, it was so small, but it was so regular, and it was so similar. Each tick, but each one, do you know what each one was saying? Time is passing. That tick will never come back again. Oh, I know the same tick, it sounds the same, but you know what I'm saying? That tick represents a second, and when that second has ticked by, it will never come round again. Ever. And here we are at another harvest. My first in Drumrea. Hopefully the first of many. But maybe you've been at umpteenth harvests in Drumrea. But you're still not saved. Still not come to Christ. The clock is ticking. This harvest will not come again. You might not get another harvest. The prophet says, the harvest is past. The summer has ended. And we are not saved. The summer too will not come back again. Way down in County Down, there's an old schoolhouse in Ballygowan. And you drive past it, there's a clock on the top of the old schoolhouse. It's a black stone building. And they have a Bible text from 1 Corinthians 7 above the clock. And it says, time is short. And the story goes that whenever the building was being constructed, there was scaffolding up. And one of the workmen fell from the scaffolding to his death. And it was decided then to put up above the clock the text, time is short. You don't have all the time in the world. And the text is indicating that, isn't it? The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. You can't just say to yourself, well, I have plenty of time. And the third thing the prophet indicates through this text, he has said salvation is available, but it's not being taken up. He says that time is passing, and you need to be aware of that. Thirdly, he says opportunity is knocking. There is this window of opportunity. I began by talking about that window of opportunity. If I'd gone into the shop whenever that three-day wonder was on the fourth day, and I'd said to the shop assistant, you know, I'd like to have that deal that was an offer yesterday, they would have said to me, you can't have it. It was yesterday's offer. It's not there today. You've missed it. That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 95, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you're hearing the voice of God, don't harden your heart. And as it says in 2 Corinthians, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There's an old Negro spiritual, and it goes like this. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain, and then the Holy Spirit revives my work again. There is a balm in Gilead, and it is the blood of Jesus Christ, who was put to death on the cross for our sins. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That is the core message. We live in a strange world where all sorts of kind of strange gospels are being preached. I've heard of some of these modern churches where they only preach positive messages and everything has to be positive. That's fine. But the sin of the soul that sinneth, it shall die, the Bible says. We need an answer to sin. But here is the answer to sin. The balm of Gilead, the blood of Christ, cleanses all our sins. And as Jeremiah preaches this message, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. The people, when they hear that message, instead of fleeing to the Lord, look at verse 14, let us flee to the fortified cities, they say, and perish there. For the Lord our God has doomed us to perish and given us poisoned water to drink because we have sinned against him. Instead of fleeing to the Lord, they flee to their cities, to their homes, to their jobs, to their families, and they take refuge in those things. Just as today, listening to me, you might go out of here and say, you know, I'm going to go home and I'm going to just flee to the TV. I'm going to flee to the iPad. I'm going to flee to the cooker. I'm going to flee to my work. Flee to anything but flee to the Lord. Don't make that mistake this evening if you're not saved. Flee to the Lord. The Lord is kind. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not hold against us our iniquities. They are paid for in Jesus Christ. The King has shed his blood for you. He has paid your ransom. So come to him. Come to this King. Bow the knee to him. Here we are, the harvest is over. The summer is over. But are you saved tonight? Are you saved tonight? That's the most important question. You might not get another harvest. You might not get another summer. And whether you do or whether you don't, it doesn't matter. Are you saved? That's the question. And this great text is pointing us to Jesus Christ, the balm of Gilead, the physician, the great physician, the great healer of souls. He went about doing good and he healed the sick, but he came to heal the souls of those who looked to him. Flee to him today. Take him as your Lord and as your Savior. Don't miss this window of opportunity. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the straight message the prophet brought to the people so many years ago. We thank you that he challenged them. We thank you that he reminded them of their responsibilities before you. And we thank you, Father, still today we hear that same challenge. We feel that same message. Lord, help us, we pray, not to miss the window of opportunity. Help us, we pray, Lord, to flee to Jesus Christ, to close in on him, and to see that in him who is the pearl of great price, that in him who is the treasure of all the earth, that in him we have salvation. The one who is altogether lovely, in him we have life, in him we have hope, and in him we have the love of God. Father, we just pray that this message will continue to speak to our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.